I'm going to preach about what you hear. Small Straws, is today the 26th? So it's today. Strengthen yourself in your faith in spiritual reality. Stop looking only at the natural physical realm and seek to know and discern what I'm doing in the Spirit, says the Lord. Most of the noise around you is designed to draw you away from spirituality into carnality. You must resist and stop your ears to worldly things that consume your time and attention. Rise up to find me and to find peace. Mark 4:24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Isn't that good? And of course, as all these things are, God speaking to me to get me in right space. Amen. So, Strong's hearing is to uncover the ear or to reveal. Hearing is to reveal, to receive the receiver of divine revelation. Oh, I hope it doesn't go like this all night. Okay, hearing is the receiver of divine revelation. So if we're going to hear, we're going to get divine revelation. To hear is to listen, obey, to hear with attention or interest. So it's more than just noise. So the admonition here is to choose carefully what we hear or what we listen to, what we choose to listen to. What we hear is a whole lot like what we eat is in the digestive process. It either becomes nourishment to the body or poison to the system. It's the same thing with what we hear. It's either going to be good for us or bad for us. Okay? Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. So gossip, something we don't want, that's poison. That poisons us inside. We don't want to hear gossip. We don't want to hear lies. So we guard against those things and become adept at stopping our ears to useless noise around us. And I was thinking that our environment, for all of us, the environment is charged with words, ideas, and opinions that have nothing to do with God and eternity. I mean, we hear when we just go out in public around other people, we rarely hear words of life and truth. Most of what we hear is noise and has nothing to do with God and eternity. And this noise is very detrimental to our spiritual well-being. And we need to know that. We need to think about life in those terms, because God is dealing with us about what we hear. We want God to hear our prayers and petitions all the time, but are we willing to listen for his voice and do what he says? Relationship with God is a two-way street. He talks, we listen. We talk, he listens. Unless we just speak to the air, and unless we don't have ears to hear him. Malachi 2:2 says, if you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. So if God is speaking to us about this very thing, then it behooves us to take it to heart about what we speak and what we hear, because it is important. And if we don't take it to heart, he said, we're cursed already. If we do take it to heart, there'll be a blessing. God wants to bless us, and we want him to bless us, but we must hear him and take it to heart and give him glory when we have opportunities to do so. We need to learn to ask for wisdom in every situation. Every situation. I had a situation this afternoon where the website was down and I didn't know why. And tried to call Brady. Brady wasn't available. Tell him he's fired. Again. And so, you know, if I can't get Brady, I have to get God. So, God, I need wisdom. I need to know what to do about the website. I mean, every other website came up on my computer, and I did all the things with the router and the modem and all the stuff. You do all the stuff, and still no Faith Tabernacle website. So I'm saying, God, I need wisdom. He gave it to me, and it worked. Because I'm not any tech support person, I'll tell you that. So we need to ask for wisdom in every situation and make sure that we know that we can and that we do hear. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Not it might be given to him, it will be given to him. But then we have to sit and listen. We have to be quiet enough to just hear. And I just had to stop everything and leave it alone. And then he showed me exactly what I needed to do. It took a little while to do it, but I got it done. Website is back up. So thank you, God, giving God glory. If we want God's blessing, we must hear him and take it to heart and give him the glory. That's really good, isn't it? So I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 8. But I also wanted to say, this hearing comes silently as revelation and understanding. But we have to be quiet enough. We have to get out of our chaos and stress so that we can hear what it is that he's saying. And it will come silently. It will come as revelation. It will come as understanding. So Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 1, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. It's on our way. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Quote, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. This is wisdom speaking, wisdom. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They're all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her, with wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. So wisdom dwells with prudence, and that is just caution or care in the management of resources. Management of resources, when I think of resources, is managing my emotions, my thoughts, my will. Those are my greatest resources. So wisdom dwells with prudence when I manage myself well under God's care and guidance. So our hearing will be by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What really came to me in that when I was writing this is that our hearing will be by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But that word unction really means inspiration. So again, we're finding that it comes silently as understanding, revelation, and inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we quiet our souls and listen for his leading. So if you really want to hear God, you've got to learn to be quiet. You've got to learn to idle down on the inside so that he can get through. Amen. So Psalms 131, verse 2, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I love that scripture. A weaned child is no longer an infant, but is in the long process of maturity. The great quality of spiritual maturity is calm and quiet. thoughts and emotions. If we can be calm and quiet in our thoughts and emotions, we are like a weaned child. A weaned child doesn't cry to his mother to hold him all the time and feed him all the time. He's weaned. He's growing up. He's beginning to have thoughts of his own. He's beginning to know God if he's led in that direction. A weaned child. We're weaned children if we can quiet our souls. If we aren't, if we're like little babies that have temper tantrums and we don't have those emotions and those thoughts under control, then we are infantile. Amen? Again, Psalm 131:2, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Another thought that I had while I was doing this message is many of us are so engaged in the noise and chaos around us that we're seldom quiet or calm enough to be led by the Spirit because we're so engaged with the noise, with the calamity. Amen? Chaos begets chaos. Once we allow our peace to be disturbed, chaos will rule until we make a conscious and deliberate decision to be quiet enough to hear the Lord again. Because we're going to get out of control from time to time. But then we have to make a conscious decision to come back into that place of safety and quiet and peace where we can hear God. We don't hear God when we're in chaos and upset. Ask me how I know that. Or maybe not. I have 2 Corinthians 6:14. And this may not sound like it fits, but it does. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? So if we are like a weaned child, then what have I to do with whining and crying and having a fit? I'm not going to be yoked with that because I can't be unequally yoked together. Because if I'm quiet and listening to God, then I'm in a righteous place. If there are other people around me that are in chaos and confusion and having a fit, we are not together. We have no communion. Amen? It said, what communion has light with darkness? What communion has quiet and noise? I mean, it's the same thing. They're unequally yoked. So we have to choose what side we're going to be on. If we like chaos, we like a lot of noise, go do that if you want to. But you can't be with me. If I'm listening, if I want to hear God, if I'm going to be quiet and know what God is saying, then we're not even on the same plane. Somebody's on a different planet. To me, it seems like the world has become louder than ever. It is more and more difficult to shut out the noise, but it would benefit us greatly to retreat more often to a quiet place and commune with the Holy Spirit. I mean, there is a lot of noise, and we can't do anything about the lot of noise. Except that we can retreat and not partake. We can be a different sort of human being. We can be God's child, a weaned child, where we can be quiet and listen and be with God. Amen? And 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Communion with the Holy Spirit is a deliberate thing. You do that deliberately. You shut up, you quiet yourself, and you spend time with the Holy Spirit in communion. And it takes the practice of being quiet internally and refocusing. It takes practice to do that. The more we do it, the easier it becomes. I've done this with you guys on a few occasions where I've had you, we've just been quiet, and I've just said, listen. And the minute you start to listen, every other sense is quieted. Every other function of the senses is suddenly quiet. It's an amazing thing. That's how I learned to commune with God, is by listening. And when you listen, you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, you are totally focused. That's what we need to do again. And I think also, we can, in most instances, choose what we hear. I think we can. We can usually walk away from things that disturb our peace or things that are just not edifying. I don't know, but I think I've been told that I walk away from a lot of stuff. I don't do that to be rude, but I know that all of a sudden I'm someplace else and I walked away in the middle of somebody's sentence. But if it wasn't edifying, if it wasn't a godly thing, then I'm not usually engaged in that. And so I'm kind of famous for just walking away, but I'm saying, I think we need to do that. We can walk away from things that disturb our peace. If we hold peace like a resource, and it is, I mean, God wants us at peace. If we hold that and something comes in and it's disturbing and upsetting, do I really want to stand there and listen? No. Because I'm a steward of the peace that God has given me internally. I'm a steward of that. If I'm careless with the peace that he's given me, then I'm not worthy. I know that's a strong statement, but it's true. Find peace, keep peace. And if there's something that disturbs that peace, you can walk away, walk away. Go do something else. Keep your peace. Amen. We can usually walk away from things that disturb our peace or things that are just not edifying. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And that word edify means instruct or benefit, or morally, or uplift. If we don't speak things to each other that will lift us up, either in faith by seeing what God is doing, or, I don't know, there are all kinds of conversations we can have that are uplifting or centered around relationship with Christ. And it says, let us pursue that. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. We get to choose, though. I mean, we're in control of this vessel, this vehicle that we live in. And we can choose peace. We can choose God, we can choose the good things. We can choose righteousness. We can choose not to hear the noise. Silence is a wonderful thing. I mean, you guys all know this, but I'm just going to say for those who listen through the internet that we have two little stray kitties that came and adopted us. The first one came after spending winter in the kind of weather we're having here in Kremling today, and we were 13 below zero. And she survived that winter, and we began to feed her to help her get through a really tough time. And she finished up moving in with us, and she is so sweet. She's such a sweet kitty. And in maybe February, it was November that first year that we knew that she was hanging out in our yard. She disappeared for 3 weeks. And when she came back again, she was ragged and skinny. And I knew that she had had kittens. And she was starving. She was just starving. I saw her coming down the sidewalk. I hurried to get some food out because she was still afraid to see us. Put some food out, she ate as quickly as she could and went back. And every morning she would leave for months to go, and I know she was teaching those kittens how to hunt. And then she'd come back and spend the night, and then she would go again the next day. So that was November. And the next spring, I saw these two little kittens going down the sidewalk looking for their mom. And I knew we had the mom. And one of them had a little pink collar, and the other one didn't have a collar at all. And he found her, and found her in our house having dinner. And he insisted on coming in. And when he came in through the patio door, the first thing he did was jump on my beautiful dining room table that I value highly. And I said, oh no, he squirted in here. What are we going to do with it? And so then we had a thing about, are we going to let him stay too? And we didn't really have a choice. He was staying. So we have two kittens. And that was a rabbit hole right there. But silence is a wonderful thing. And those little kitties are examples of the wonder of silence as they retreat from loud voices, noise on the television. They will rarely, if ever, come and sit with us while we're watching television because the noise is just too loud. It's more than they can bear. They're calm and peaceful creatures, and they are incredibly sensitive. We also can be calm and sensitive creatures if we cut the noise out of our lives. And the more that they retreat, the time they spend outside, the more sensitive and aware they become. When we get silent, again, I'm doing silence is a wonderful thing. If we can be calm and peaceful creatures, then we can be incredibly sensitive spiritually. We'll be able to hear God. We'll be able to discern spiritual atmosphere, but we have to shut up on the inside. We need to learn how to be quiet. We have to be careful what we hear. We have to be careful what we allow ourselves to hear, what we listen to, and it is a choice. We should be more like those kitties, like PETA and Piper. They're very sweet. The louder our environment, the less sensitive we are spiritually. Amen. Also remember that when our mouths are open, our ears are shut. Truth. We need to learn to be quiet until we can be instruments of edification. Amen. Proverbs 6, verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So we need to learn to shut up when we still have the chance. Amen. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We have a responsibility to not only watch what we hear, pay attention to what we hear, but to set a watch over our mouths so we speak words of edification. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's my prayer. Are we able to do that? Not ever 100%, but we can begin to try to do this. We can begin to take this message to heart so that God can bless us. Our walk in the Spirit is a partnership, a place of unity with God and with those who belong to God. We're one if we choose to be. I'm one with God if I choose to be. I'm one with His people if I choose to be. But we can also find ourselves at odds with all that is right and good by not monitoring what we hear and speak. God wants righteous people. Amen. Bottom line, settle down, be quiet, be calm, be sensitive, discern the moving of the Spirit, and go with Him. I mean, I set myself to every day at some point in the day, maybe several times a day, is what is the spiritual environment like? I did that tonight, and it was like a tornado, a hurricane. It was bits and pieces of things, and it is a It's a terrible spiritual environment over the nation, over the world right now. And that gets on us, and we're affected by that, whether we actually hear stuff or not. But that's the spiritual environment. So what do? We quarantine ourselves. We put ourselves in a quiet place, in a quiet room, where we don't hear stuff that we don't want to hear. And we don't say stuff that we don't want to say. We don't say stuff that we don't want to say. Small Straws, on January 24th, God said, stay the course, be strong, and refuse to deviate from what you know is right and good. We're going to take that to heart so we can be blessed. The problems that you face will be resolved in a few days, but you must be calm and do what you can to stay in order. Put your complete trust in me to reveal the value of your recent challenges and to unveil your divine purpose, says the Lord. Psalm 24:20, verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. So what's your heart's desire? Is it to be sensitive, to hear God, to be one with God, to always edify other people, to always speak good things, to hear only good things? We have to, on purpose, decide to do that. Because he said, may he grant you according to your heart's desire. It has to be a heart's desire. We have to take this to heart and make it a desire and then follow through with it. And he will give us the desire of our heart. Amen.